going to do, we're going to go through what we've been talking about, what we talked about the couple of nights. We had a set, we had three different points, man, that we're going to go over. And these actually, look, I actually could have made a whole series out of this and done like three distinct weeks. But what we're going to do, we're going to try and put it together. We've got a little bit of time left, man. We're going to try and put it together and let you guys get an idea of what we talked about. The first night, I was able to speak, man, and it was a cool deal. And I talked about number one in your notes is Jesus gives me courage. Jesus gives me courage. If you didn't get notes, they're in the back, and we can get you some if you need them. But we talked about how Jesus gives us courage. And the scripture that I tried to teach the kids, it was 2 Timothy 1:7. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And so, you know, in my attempt to teach them, you know, you put hand motions, people remember stuff, right? Do you guys remember stuff if you have to do something? Well, I taught them the thing that I did when I was a kid was he didn't give us a spirit of fear, but he gave us power. Everybody put your arms up. This is like kid's shirt. Put your arms up. Power, love, and a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. And it worked really, really well at the time. And then the next day I was like, hey, what did you guys learn yesterday? He's like, oh no, something about fear and strength and hugs and in your head. I'm like, okay, close. We'll work on it some more. But it's one of those things that God didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave us a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And when we're talking about Jesus giving us courage, how many of you know he can strengthen us in ways to be able to do what we need to do? I don't know about you guys, but when I first see something and something first presented to me, I see all the wrong things that could happen with it. Are you guys that way? Like me. I'm just like, that's like first night of EBS. I was like, okay, what did we do wrong? What did we do wrong? What did we do? And the whole night I was trying to find out what we did wrong. And honestly, I didn't see anything. I didn't see anything that we could have done better. Now, at the end of the week, I was like, well, man, maybe we could change this. Maybe we could change that a little bit. But it wasn't that everything went completely smooth and completely amazing. And that's all to the glory of God. You know, that's all to him being able to do that. But my mind, I was living in fear, y'all, that it wasn't going to go good. And we was going to have like a whole bunch of kids and they weren't going to learn nothing. Right. But God can bring us past that. God can bring us past that. Jesus gives us courage to be able to do things that normally would be impossible or normally we wouldn't be able to accomplish on our own. And ultimately, God calls us to things we can't do on our own, right? If you could do it, where would his glory be in it? Honestly, if you could do it all by yourself and you didn't need God to be a part of it, then where's the glory that he has out of that? Other than he created a really awesome person, right? It's not how it works. We ultimately, according to scripture, are broken. We are, according to scripture, not able to do the things that we need to do. And it's him who gives us the strength and courage to do them. Well, I talked about Peter. I love Peter. He's like one of my favorites. He was one of Jesus' favorites too. If you notice, whenever he did anything, he had Peter, James, and John. He told Peter, he rebuked Peter because he did stupid stuff. Like, get thee behind me, Satan. Like, he didn't tell any of the other disciples that, or just Peter, right? Like, that's kind of rough, Jesus, you know? But then, you know, Peter cuts the ear off of the guy, and Jesus is like, no, 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 let's put that back. You know, he did some really messed up things. But the one thing that Peter did is he was always willing to step out and do different things. Like, he wasn't afraid to just try to say what he thought, right? Even though it came back on him sometimes, and it does on us as well. But one of the times we read in Matthew 14, 22 through 23, it reads this. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. How many of you know getting by yourself in some situations is a good thing? Jesus did it constantly. He got away and said, hey, let me refresh myself. Let me get right with God. And then let me come back and take care of other situations, other people, other things. So he goes up to the mountain to pray. It says, when evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way off from land. Beaten by the waves, the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. How many of you have ever been out in the middle of the ocean in a storm? Have you guys ever been that way? I was in the Navy, and we, like, if there was a storm, it washed the outside of the boat with fresh water. We didn't have to use our fresh water to wash it down. So our captain and his genius, said, there's a storm, let's go to it. And so we would go through some really crazy stuff, like 45 this way, 35 this way at the same time, you know. And so there was some really, really crazy stuff. And so when you're out there in it, you're just like, this is nuts, I'm going to die. I know how they feel right now, because they probably weren't on a bit. My boat was 505 foot long, 64 and a half foot wide, 8 decks high, right? They were not on something like that, y'all. They were probably in a dinghy or something, you know? And with the wind and the waves on something like that, that's bad, right? I was in my kayak the other day, and it was swamping over the front, and I was just like, this is horrible. And the waves were this tall, y'all, you know? Fear came across. So I can imagine them being scared to death. And then they see Jesus walking out to them, or something walking out to them, and they have no clue what it is. They don't have an idea of what it is. And the first thing that they said, but when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. Take heart, it is I, and do not be afraid. And then Peter says this, answered him, Lord, if it's you, command me to come out on the water with you. That would probably be the last thing on my mind. I'd probably be like, Jesus, come get in the boat so we can hang out, right? Not let me come and walk on water with you. That would have been the furthest thing. It's not natural. But the one thing that happens in a situation is we see that Jesus, or that Peter, completely trusts Jesus in every aspect with his life, right? Because there's a storm, it's crazy, there's things happening, and he says, hey, let me come out there with you, because if you're there, I know that I'm okay. And if we would get that point into our minds, if Jesus is there, we're going to be okay. And then you know what? We need to focus on Jesus in the middle of all of our situations. And what will happen? He'll give us the courage and the strength to be able to do the things that we need to do, the places, the things that he's called us to do. It said, and he said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus immediately reached out, took his hand, took a hold of him, said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. See, the others maybe didn't know, especially the guys on the boat. Maybe didn't really know who Jesus was, really didn't know what was happening. But because of the situation that Peter was going through, that he needed the courage of God, other people got to see the glory of God. Sometimes in your situation, other people get to see the glory of God that never really understood who he was before, because of the faith that you have, the courage that you have to stand up in the middle of these times that are difficult. We see Peter again later in the word. You think he trusted him fully then, but at the same time when Jesus was being crucified, he told him, you're going to deny me 3 times. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? He says, you're going to deny me 3 times. 3 times you're going to say, I don't know him. Nah, I'll never do that. I'll be there. Sometimes we end up in situations doing things we never thought ourselves capable of. Amen? Sometimes we find ourselves in different situations. And the reason why is because at this point, he was separated from Jesus. Jesus was there, but he was over here. And he still should have had the courage to stand up. He said, I would have the courage to stand up. But at this time, we read in 3 different places. I'm not going to read it all out for the sake of time, but you can go back and check it out. John 18:15-18. And then it skips a couple of verses, 25-27. There's 3 times that Peter says, I do not know that man, because he's worried about being persecuted, being beaten, being thrown in prison, being crucified alongside of Jesus. And at that point, he's like, man, I'm not strong enough to do that. But then he watches Jesus do all these things for you and for me and for him. And what ends up happening? We see Jesus tell him to go to a place and wait. And God will send his Holy Spirit down to him, to us. And it says that his Holy Spirit will do what? He will give us power to be his witnesses. Jesus, again, set up an opportunity, a way, God and Jesus set up a way so that we could have power to withstand and to be witnesses and to show other people the glory of God through our lives, through what he's doing in our lives. Not what we're doing, because guess what? We mess it up. That's half the reason why he's here helping us anyway, because we already messed it up and he's fixing it for us. Amen? Not you guys, but just me, I guess. That's what ends up happening. But then we see Acts chapter 2, verses 23-24, the same people that had put Jesus to the cross, this is about 40 days later, 40 plus days later, because Jesus spent time and walked with the disciples in the first part of Acts for 40 days. This is just after that, after he had ascended into heaven. And then he says this. He says, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, the man you arrested, you attested to be by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. Jesus, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed him by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pains of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. The same people that he had denied Christ in front of, maybe not the same exact person, but the group of people that were causing these issues and problems, he stood up and said, I don't care anymore. I have strength because I know who Jesus is. I know what he's done, and I know what he means to me. And because of that, he was able to stand up, and 3,000 people, it says, came to know Christ. 3,000 people came to know the grace, love, and mercy because he was willing to say, you know what? I just don't care. I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm going to stand up in courage and say, Jesus is the only way. You know what? We need to stand up in courage in our lives and say, you know what? Jesus is it, y'all. You can believe what you want to believe, but Jesus is it. And I love you. I love you even if you believe something different. But Jesus is it, man. And I'm here whenever you're ready. Whenever you want to talk, I'm here. Like, I don't know everything. That's what I tell people. I was like, I ain't got no answers, but I'll listen. And then I'll try and tell you what I think. Don't listen to it. Read the word and see what it says, right? Don't listen to me. Listen to him. Listen to me. Listen to him. Except for right now. Listen to me because I'm preaching. It'd be awkward if you just shut me off. That's what we talked about the first night, Jesus giving us strength. The next thing that we talked about the next night was Pastor John talked about Jesus is the light. And I kind of took that point and what he did. He asked different questions about fear and about what are you afraid of when you go camping, and what are most people afraid of? The dark. The bears. That's what the kids said too, man. They're like, bears, snakes, spiders. He's like, no, darkness. You're scared of dark. Okay, yeah, we're scared of darkness. No, it was good. And what happens is this is the scripture tells us that Jesus is the light. He tells us that I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? He also tells us in John 8:12, he says, I am the light of the world. Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. How many of you know it's really horrible to walk in darkness? So last night I was trying to get to my bed, and my girls were asleep, and they had their TV on, and it was really bright, and so I couldn't go to sleep. I don't know why that bothered me. It never does any other time. But I couldn't go to sleep, so I walked in, and I shut off their TV, and then I turned around, and I realized, y'all, there were Shopkins all over the floor, and, like, those are, if y'all know what Shopkins are, they're worse than Legos. I'm just saying, when you step on them. And it was like landmines trying to get through, and it was pitch black. I couldn't see nothing. You know how afraid I was? I was like, just, like, it took me 5 minutes to go 10 feet, y'all. I mean, it was bad. And that's what happens with us in our lives when we're walking around in darkness. Jesus tells us that he is the light. And if we'll just allow him to be a part of our lives, it will illuminate the things. I'm going to tell you really quick a couple of things because I don't want to go too long, but I don't want to cut it short either. So the first thing that's in your notes, man, under it is light dispels darkness. Darkness cannot be in the presence of light. The definition of darkness is the absence of light. That's the definition. Now, they had a couple other definitions too, but that's the main definition. The absence of light. Jesus said, if I'm there, there will not be darkness. And how many of you know, man, one of the things that I love about, I can't wait for Christmas to come. Not really for Christmas, but I can't wait for our candlelight service. I really liked it. And I had so much fun last year, but one of the things that we did, we took the candles and we lit one candle, and this whole room was dark, and it was one little candle, but you could still see, right? And then we took my candle and lit this candle and lit that candle, and then everybody lit their candles off. And before too long, this whole place, it didn't burn down, y'all. We were good. I was worried about that. But this whole place was lit up. Why? Because everybody had a little bit of the light inside of them, right? In their hand. Everybody had a little bit of light. And what was really, really cool about the light is when light comes together in unity, I don't know if you've ever seen this, when light comes together in unity, the flame gets bigger, right? You ever seen somebody at a wedding light a unity candle? They put the two candles together and that one flame gets really, really high until they pull it away. If we would all walk in unity with the light that Christ has given us, you know how bright it would be? How much of an impact it would have on the darkness that is around us, y'all? It would be amazing. The next thing that light does, like I alluded to just a minute ago, is light brings sight and understanding. How many of you have ever been scared of something and didn't know what it was until you turned the light on? Then you saw exactly what it was, and you're like, oh, I don't need to be afraid of that, right? It brings light. It illuminates the things and allows you to see things that you couldn't normally see, couldn't naturally see. And then the other thing it makes you do is it brings understanding in ways. All right, this is what's happening. Well, to fix it, I need to do this. This noise that's going on outside my house, it's a branch that's rubbing against the thing. Now that it's daylight, I can see it and I can go take care of it, right? Jesus said, I'm going to bring sight to your life, allow you to see things you couldn't normally see. I'm going to let you understand them. I'm going to show you what they mean. When he said, I am the light of the world, it wasn't just that he shined bright. There's so many things that it does, light does. If you look at light scientifically, if you look at what light does, another thing that light does is it brings life. It brings life. Look, the plants and trees, if you take them out of sunlight, what happens? They die. You cut them and stick them on your wall. They were really bright, and now they're kind of wilted and not as bright, right? Why? One, they're not attached, and two, they have no light. They have no light. Light brings life. It allows us to be able to the food that we eat, the things that we do, has to come. It only can come by sunlight. You can't have it in the darkness. It won't grow. A lot of our lives, man, it won't grow in the darkness. Light brings life. That's another thing that light does is it purifies. Have you guys ever seen one of those UV lamps that they purified water with? They shine it really bright and it kills the bacteria and the things that are in there. Why? Because of the light. The light purifies. Same way Jesus purifies our life. Guess what he does? He shines light on the situations. Scripture says that the things done in darkness will be brought to the light. Will be brought to the light. And what does that help us do? It can be a bad thing if we're hiding stuff. It can be a good thing because when you turn on the light, you can see things normally you couldn't see. Again, bring sight and understanding. It brings an opportunity for me to say, oh, you know what? You're right. That is an issue or a problem that I have. That is something that I need to take care of. That is something that I need to bring to Jesus. Another thing that light does is it gives security. When you hear a noise in a camp out, middle of the night, what do you want to do? Get your flashlight, cut it on. So maybe you'll see it and run away. That's what I do. You know, build the fire. So we were camping on our first men's camp out. It was really, really cold, y'all. One of the main things I was happy about the huge fire, I wasn't happy because we had to go way over there to get water to put it out, and we didn't really have a bucket or anything, so it was rough. But you learn as you go. But the cool thing was is the light made things go away, right? Animals don't like to come near the light, right? The big ones, the scary ones, right? They want to go away from it. It gives us security. What do you do at your house, man? You put lights on the outside on a motion detector. So when somebody comes around the corner, it's not supposed to be there. What? Light shines on them. They're like, oh, I'm about to get caught. I'm brought in the light. I'm exposed. I'm in the light now. I want to run away. Light brings security. And the next thing that does is light brings hope. Light brings hope. Have you guys ever been in a really, really dark place and was trapped and couldn't get out? And then you saw light and there it was and it was okay. Everything was good. Think about this thought. The miners that were caught years ago, a couple years ago, right? In the mine. It was dark. You know what happened when they first saw that light? That little bit of light, hope came back to their life. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Jesus is a light, and he brings us hope. He brings us hope that no matter what we're facing, we can go through it. Because he said this. He said, be of good cheer. You know, you're going to have issues. You're going to have trials and tribulations, but it's okay because I have overcome the world. And I had somebody tell me one time, well, that's great for him, but I'm in this situation right now. Right? How many of you ever felt that way? Jesus, I'm glad you overcame, but I'm the one in the situation. But this is the thing. It says he'll never leave us or forsake us. And he's going to carry us through when we look to him. Amen? When we look to him, he's going to bring us through. Light gives us hope. If there's darkness in your life, if you're thinking of some things that need some light, man, let's give it to Jesus. Let's let him take care of it. Let him purify us. Let him heal us. Oh, light brings healing. Did I skip healing? E? Ah, I skipped E. Sorry. Light heals. So when Sid was a baby, she first came out, she started turning really, really yellow. You know what they did? They sent us home with a big lamp that we had to zip up around her, and it brought light. And the light healed her somehow. I don't know how, right? There are certain situations where the doctor says, hey, go outside and get some sun. You need to get some sun, right? Brings healing. Not because we're pale and we need a tan. It's because our body needs the light. It helps us. It heals us in certain ways from certain things. There are certain diseases. I know tuberculosis was one, and there was a couple of other things that part of the regimen of healing was being in the sun. Why? Because it brings healing. Jesus, when he said, I am the light, he wasn't just talking about how he shined. There's things that the light does, takes care of, changes in our life that only light can do. There's things in our life that only Jesus can do. Only Jesus. Number three, in your notes, the last night, Coach talked, Rodney, I call him Coach, sorry, y'all. He said, I am Coach. All right, good. I like it. Growing in my faith is what he talked about. Growing in my faith. And he talked about how God is good. Everybody say, God is good. God is love. Say, God is good. God is love. God is good. God is love. I was going to see if y'all were going to do it again, man. Let's just keep going, y'all. That was fun. Talking about growing in our faith, man. I'm sorry, I've been hanging out with kids all week. I like to play around. I'm going to talk about that for just a minute. And the first thing that I'm going to talk about is there's four ways that we grow in our faith. Are you guys ready? I'm going to tell them to you. The first way we grow in our faith is through hearing the word. Through hearing the word. What does it say? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? Hearing the word of God. Hearing the word. It also says this. It says they had overcome the devil by the word, the blood of the lamb, and the word of their testimony. Not just me speaking it, but other people hearing it. You know your testimony is so powerful. What God has done in your life is so powerful. Why? Because you can refute anything you want to refute, but you can't tell me what God's done in my life isn't right. Right? That's something y'all can, no matter who it is, can never take away from me, because I know what has happened. And this is what it says. Again, Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. The word is what strengthens us. The word is what builds our faith. The word, time and time and time again, man, we see in the scripture how God delivered people from situations that we face at the same time. You got a diagnosis that the doctor said, ain't nothing can be done. Do you know what the word of God says about that? The woman with the issue of blood came and said, after she had spent all she had and all the doctors said, ain't nothing we can do, she came to Jesus. And Jesus said, okay, here you go, healing. It can come. It can come. All the battles and all the issues that people were facing. You look again back. I talked about them a couple weeks ago. I think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego getting stuck in the fire. They're in a situation. They're going through something they don't want to go through, but they're doing it because they're going to act in a right manner. They're going to act the way that God told them to act and not the way that people told them to act, right? And so they're in this fire, and what happens? It says, hey, didn't we throw three of them in there? Now there's four of them, and the fourth one looks like the Son of God walking around with them. Ultimately, God, Jesus will never leave you in the midst of it. And reading these stories and seeing time and time and time again where Jesus was there and met the need and was able to take care of everything. Why? Because people just look to him, gives me faith that when I'm in the middle of my issue, I can just look to him and say, I can't do this. I can't do this. I need you to do it. I can't fight that battle, man. I can't do it. I need you to do it. And scripture tells us, man, again, the scripture I've been standing on crazy lately is Exodus 14:14. It says, God will fight my battle, your battle. You need only be silent. Keep your mouth shut. Let God take care of your issues, man. Let him have it. How do we grow? We grow by hearing the word of God. If God did it for you, then he can do it for me. That's how our faith grows. The next thing, growth through believing the word. Believing the word. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says this, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. You know why we say a sinner's prayer? Ain't because the prayer I say is really great and it's going to get you saved. What I say in that time doesn't do anything. Do you know what's happening at that moment? We are saying, you died, you gave me forgiveness, and I accept it now. That's what you're saying. You're confessing with your mouth. That's why we do that. It's the whole purpose why we do that. It's not that I have a holy prayer. It's not that there's a certain set of words you have to say in order for God to love you and take you. No, you just got to look to him and say, God, I love you. You died for me, Jesus, and I accept it. And I want what you have for me. And I want to turn from where I'm at, and I want to live the life that you have for me. Believing in my heart that I know that it can happen and confessing with my mouth the same thing. Believing through the word. Again, time and time again, we read the word and we hear and we see how it works. You became a Christian from hearing the word and believing God's word. That's how you became a Christian. And that goes for every part of our life. Everything we get from God, we get by faith that comes out of his word. Everything we receive from him, we receive by faith. Not because we can see it, not because we know it's there, other than the fact that he said it was, if I ask him for it, I get it. Ask, you shall receive. Knock, and it will be open. Right? Seek, and you'll find. I said I'm out of order, but y'all know what I'm talking about. All these things are there, and he's waiting for us. They're all in the word. You know what? You got issues? You don't know what happens? Don't go to people. Don't ask people what to do. Get in the Bible. Get in the Bible. Ask God. Seek it. Do you know why a lot of people ask other people what they should do in a situation? So that they can take away the blame in their life when they do it and it doesn't work out. I'm just being honest. Hey, tell me what I need to do. So that when it goes wrong, I was like, well, they told me to do it. I wouldn't have done it, but they said that's what I should do. No. Look to God. If you look to God and you let him tell you what to do, you ain't never going to get it wrong. You ain't. You are not. Sorry, let me use proper grammar. You are not going to get it wrong, right? It's going to be right. Because if God's word said it, guess what? It's true. If God's word said it, it can happen. Not just for me, but for anybody. I like to tell people that I'm God's favorite, like Jesus' favorite, but it's not true. He likes you guys just as much as he likes me. True statement. If God said it, it doesn't matter how you feel about it. He can still do it. Doesn't matter what you've heard about it. That's contrary to what God's word said. Doesn't matter. If God's word said it, it's truth. If he said he'll do it, he'll do it. We grow in faith through believing his word. Then the next thing in your notes, it sounds kind of weird when I say it, but I'm going to explain it, is taking God's word. Taking God's word. What do I mean by that? Taking it as my own. It's for me. It's not for you. I like you guys. But this word right here, in my situations, is for me. This word, in your situation, is for you. We need to own it. We need to own it. Hey, that's what it said. That's what it is. I'm taking it. That's my promise. That's my promise that God made to me. It's in the word. It's there. He said it's there. David said it as far as this. He said, I've stored your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I'm putting your word in here so nobody can take it away, so that in every situation I know what I'm supposed to do. It's my word that you've given to me. The scripture is God's word that he's given to you. You need to take it. You need to hold on to it. You need to stand on it and allow your faith to grow because of his word. Again, it means putting God's word before your eyes and keeping it before your eyes. Every day speaking the truth. You got an issue with something? Find a scripture. Start claiming it. Start reading it every day. I did that with my youth a long time ago. where it talked about how we were beautifully and wonderfully made. Because some of you know a lot of teenagers struggle with themselves and their bodies and how they're made and who they are and their identity, and they don't really understand anything about it. And all that they can do is see the flaws. See the flaws in their life and see the flaws everybody else points out, right? And they take that as to who they are. And they don't know the word where God says, I made you special just to be you. Nobody else is like you. Nobody else can do the things that you can do. Nobody else can be what you can be. I've made you unique. And everything that everybody else looks at as flaws, it's what I did to make you special. And that special gift that he gave us, even if we look at it as it's not a gift, the special gift that he gave to us makes us be able to do what he's called us to do and be who he's called us to be. Right? We need to put that. And so I had the kids, not in Sharpie, because the parents would have got me like mad. I told them to get one of those erasable markers, like dry erase markers. And I told them, every morning, I want you to write that on your mirror. So every morning when you're brushing your teeth, I want you to read that scripture to yourself. I want you to claim that. So that when you step out that door and somebody says something to you that doesn't line up with that, you can just let it roll off your back because you know what God said about you. We need to take God's word for ourselves. It belongs to me. It's written to me. We need to own it. Take ownership of God's word. Read it, believe it, and take it no matter what comes your way. Because sometimes issues come and we throw God's word out and try and do other things. You know where we see that? Jesus already told him to get out the boat, right? He already told him to come to him. He already told him it was going to be okay. And he started on the process of getting out of the boat and walking. But then he took his eyes off of Jesus and what he was doing and started to sink. Why? Because he lost focus of what Jesus was in his life and who that Jesus said, you're okay, you're good. I'm going to take care of you. He immediately went to, I'm going to sink, I'm going to die, this is going to be bad, right? How many times in our situation do we do that? We look to Jesus, we start stepping out, we're focused on him, everything's going really, really good. And then issues come and we turn straight away from Jesus and we start sinking in our own life. Why? Because we take our focus off of Jesus and his word that says, I'm going to be there and you're going to get through this and the water's not going to overtake you and the fire's not going to overtake you and when you come out, you ain't even smell like smoke. We forget about that in the middle of our situation. We start to look towards our situation instead of focusing on Christ in the middle of it, instead of focusing on God and what he's doing. We need to take his word and put it, own it. It belongs to me. The last way to grow in your faith that I'm going to talk about today, there's many more, but I'm just going to talk about this one, is acting on God's word. You know, it doesn't do you any good to have his word and not use it. Like, it doesn't. It doesn't do you, man, look, so I got a buddy, real good friend. He went to school for criminal justice. Right, he got a degree in criminal justice. He can get jobs doing all those different things. And he went to school for a really, really long time, and he learned it all. And you know what he does today? Not criminal justice, right? So he learned all those things, but he doesn't apply them at all in his life unless he gets in trouble. And then he's like, okay, no way. I know about this. This is the law. This is how it goes. And helps him out in that way some. But we do that with God's word. Okay, we study it, we get into it, we get it in our hearts, we get it in our life, but when we actually get into everyday application in our lives, we don't use it, right? It's like having it, again, like I said before, it's like having an exercise routine. You know how to do it, you know how to lose weight, but you just don't do it, so you stay fat. That's just how it works, right? Not you guys, I'm talking about me. Y'all are all skinny. But one of those things, it doesn't do you any good to know how to do it if you're not gonna do it. Doesn't do any good to know these scriptures that God said about me and promised about fear, about him not being there, about him using me, about whatever promise it is, about healing. It doesn't do any good for me to know these scriptures and then when the time comes, not act on them. Not act on them. How? So Peter says, Jesus, let me get out of the boat. Jesus is like, yeah, come on. He's like, oh, no, I'm good. I just want to see if you let me, you know, right? I'm not really going to get out there, right? I can imagine his the other disciples laughing at him later, ha, ha, you start sinking, man. But he's like, ha, ha, at least I got out of the boat, right? At least I did something. Scripture says this. Ready? And then I'm going to quit. James 2, 17 and 18. So faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Faith without works is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. I'll show you what I believe because of what I do. How many of you know actions speak louder than words? There is one thing that the scripture tells us to test and judge. You guys ready? We're supposed to judge fruit. Not in a way that's condemning, like you don't have any fruit. Look at all the fruit I got. Not like that. But we're supposed to judge the fruit that comes out of people's lives. We're supposed to see. Like when I decide who I'm going to hang out with, what I'm going to do, the people that are going to surround my life, you know what I look at? Not what they say. Because I understand after so many years that talk is very, very cheap. But I look at the fruit that's coming from their lives. Is that what I need in my life to make me more Christ-like? Or is that what I need to not be around in order to make me more Christ-like? Right? What do I need to do? So the fruit that we have in our life is so important. Because you know what else it does? Like I said a while back, man, I don't remember what I was preaching about, but we had a tree in Louisiana and it looked really, really, really good. But the fruit was nasty. Right? We produce good and bad fruit in our lives, y'all. We do. We shouldn't. Jesus said that bad water and good water shouldn't come from the same well, right? We should all produce good fruit in our lives. Fruit that does what? That nourishes, that helps to grow. Grow where? Grow towards Christ. Grow towards God. But unfortunately, because of actions and things that we do, our fruit is not good. And so what ends up happening? Who ends up getting blamed because you do something stupid? No, not you guys. Okay, let me turn around. Who gets blamed because I do something stupid in my life? I have a bad attitude. I just rip somebody up one side and down the other, and I've got my victory shirt on. Like, what up? You're horrible. Right? Jesus loves you. Right? Who gets the blame for that? Not me. One of those people that belong to God. There's a God. If that's what God is, I don't want it. So our fruit is very important. The works that come out of our life build faith, not just in ourselves, but in others. We need to make sure that we point people to Him, that we focus on Him. And that's why it's so important that we have consistency in our lives with our actions. Amen? Why don't you guys bow your heads, close your eyes? Aaron, come on back up here, brother. We're going to go home. You be honest today, man. Say, in my life, I'm living with a lot of fear. Fear of stepping out for Jesus. Fear of doing what I should. Fear of making even the wrong choice so I'm not making choices. But you're ready this morning to give your everything to Jesus. Every situation that you have, everything that you're going through, every struggle that you have, you're ready to trust what His Word says, what Jesus has said, that He's always going to be there for us, that He's going to help us. We're going to start looking to His Word to take care of our situations. That's you, and you're ready to get rid of that fear this morning. Everybody's heads bowed, everybody's eyes closed. Just put your hand up and put it back down. I'm ready to get rid of that fear. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm ready to get rid of that fear. I'm ready to be who God called me to be, to do what He's, that thing that He set before me, the ministry that I can do, that only I can do for Him. Heavenly Father, as you saw these hands raised, man, you know their hearts. You know the lives that they live, where they're at, the things that they're afraid of, the things they need to let go and give to you and allow you to have in their lives, God. And we ask that you would help them now. Help them be who you created them to be. Help them to step out in faith, Father God, in you, knowing that as they focus on you, Father, in their situation, that you are going to be there the whole time. And you're going to take them out if they need it. You're going to walk them through it if that's what it takes as well, Father God. But ultimately, we're going to trust you with everything this morning, Father God. Some of you guys are struggling in your faith in different ways. You would go along the lines as the father that says, I believe God, but help my unbelief. Because there's some areas that I'm doubting. There's some areas that I'm falling short. There's some areas that I'm not trusting you fully. My faith is wavering at times. Heads bowed, eyes closed. That's you. You say, I need to help him to help grow my faith. Just put your hand up, put it back down. Help grow my faith. Thank you. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, you saw these hands, man. Again, you know where we're at. And I ask that each and every one of us, that you would allow our faith to be strengthened. That you would allow us to see you more than ever in our lives, Father God, and allow us to focus on you in every issue, every circumstance, every need. Let us see you moving and working, Father God. Don't let us look at the waves and the wind, but look towards you who are taking us through it, Father God. Let us trust you. Let us get in your word and find those issues, find those things that we are struggling with in your word. And let's look to that instead of looking to people to tell us what to do, Father God. Help us hear your voice. Your word says if we ask, we receive. We seek, we find. We knock, it'll be open. Right now, Father God, we're asking. We're looking for you in our situations, and we know that you will open those doors. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. All right, so I need some help with you guys. If you can stay, these are amazing decorations, right? They all got to come down today, and we got to go back to a church, like a real-looking church. So if you are available, man, and you can give us some time, man, the more people we have helping get all this down and get all this out, it'll go way faster. If you can't, I understand. But, again, if you could help us, man, that would be just another way. You could use your talents and abilities for Jesus, taking it down. And then this is what we're going to do. Before we walk out of here, man, we're all going to stand up, and we're going to sing one more song, right?
Yes.
We're going to sing one more song and worship our Father. How many of you know he's good to us?
Amen.
He is good to us. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being good to us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, and for your Son that allows us to experience all that you have for us, Father. We ask that you would help us with that now. Let us see you more than ever as we walk out these doors. And let us see you right now in our worship, Father God. Holy Spirit, let us see you moving in our lives as well. Let us listen to you and follow what you have for us. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said?